April 2024, warning and encouraging the little ones. Dear friends and family, early in March I was given the high honor and privilege of ministering to a large group of Christian school elementary age children, grades K through 5th. To be exact, there were 200 of them sitting on the gym's floor right in front of me. Though I have driven past the area where Linville Hill Christian School is located for decades, I never knew it existed until recently via a sister in the Lord slash friend who also has worked with children for many years. And now here before me for 20 minutes was a group of relatively speaking very young innocent souls, yet just as immortal as the oldest adult in the room. This group of children was virgin territory, blank slates, holy ground if you will. Here they were in this very rural, secluded environment, safe under the care of the godly staff of the school. I was a complete stranger to them and to the staff, except for the school librarian whom I attended Bible school with and hadn't seen in almost 42 years. And yet, I was trusted with these precious little ones. The children in the front were learning to read, the children in the back on the precipice of puberty. And yet, it was my high task to minister the Word of God to them. Who is adequate for such things? 2 Corinthians 2:16. Who, mind you, could both hold the attentions of an age span so wide and also effectually minister the truths of the Bible to them? Certainly not me, even with all of my attention-grabbing props and visual aids. I knew I needed the grace and ability of the master communicator, the Lord Jesus himself. And so, once again, I fell on him in mind, heart, and soul, and also, I'm sure, at times with my body in my preparation for this sacred event. Warning the wee ones? But Michael, some of you may ask, why the need to warn such very young children? I will tell you why. Having ministered to children and youth now in some venue or capacity since 1984, I am very acutely and painfully aware that these precious, tender, little angels, sadly, tragically, if left to themselves, do not remain that way. It is an almost unspoken assumption with those ministering to the very young, because they're so tender-hearted, relatively speaking, that they will never grow hard and callous towards the things of God. Nothing could be farther from the truth. To my very deep dismay and anguish, so many of the children I had the privilege of being with and ministering to in my four children's pastorates, not to mention those who grew up in camp with me, have grown cold. They've grown hard and calloused, too cool and sophisticated for God now. They've been enticed by the deceit and pleasures of the world. They've been taught by new mentors and preachers now. Actors, actresses, celebrities, musicians, podcasters, YouTubers, TikTok, etc. They've believed and adopted the poison of these people. It's the poison of their beliefs, philosophies, and ungodly lifestyles. And if they've been led away from the Good Shepherd, you can be sure the poisonous teachings they've ingested via these people were doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy 4:1. Satan's favorite preoccupation in the affairs of men is to teach them. And he always does so through other people. I've taught children's ministries workers for years, quote, the three main ways a child learns is by example, example, and example, unquote. Hence, dear reader, the stakes in ministering to the very young are very high. What brings such deep grief to my heart as I type these sad tidings is that these same precious young spent countless meetings at church and at camp in the presence of God. May I say, the heavy, weighty presence of God? Hence, if I can get to them while they're so young, I will warn them to do all they can to avoid this disastrous and eternity-determining pitfall. The thick, gray, goopy mass phenomenon. And what was the warning I gave to these little angels? It is the warning I have given countless Christian schools and institutions over the decades. I told them that they are in a very, very special place surrounded by godly men and women. They're in an environment where the Word of God is held in prominence and high esteem. I made it clear that they being at their school is such a high privilege compared to those children who attend public schools every day. I told them that in the Lord, with high privilege comes high responsibility and accountability. I warned them that on that great day when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, one at a time, to give an explanation of their life and what they did with the gifts and graces that the King gave them, they will be more strictly judged than those who did not have said privileges. Jesus said, "To whom much is given, much is required." Luke 12:48. Yes, these are weighty matters, but oh, how I wish someone would have told me these things as a child, since I too attended a parochial school for 8 years, not to mention a Bible school for an additional 4 years. What then is the thick, gray, goopy mass phenomenon? So many times when I have ministered in a religious / parochial educational setting, or even a church staff, where the people involved are around the holy things every day, I have noticed a horrible phenomenon take place. Fallen human nature, that is the flesh, is always and ever hostile and antithetical to all things God. When a human heart is exposed to the things of God on a regular basis, viz. His Word and Spirit's presence, if that same heart does not yield to the weight of these holy things, it hardens. It begins to treat the things of God lightly, routinely, to take them for granted, even irreverently. I liken it to a thick, gray, goopy, massive wall between me and this group of people that is very hard to penetrate. Their attitude, if they're paying attention at all, is, "Oh, I've heard this all before." If that is the case, they've never really heard it. And what adds to the horror of this phenomenon is that those under its spell don't realize they are. The cure. I dared not leave these precious little ones without the cure for this tragic spiritual phenomenon, which has plagued so very many churches, Christian schools, and religious institutions. It is the process of illumination. Scripture knowledge minus the Holy Spirit's illumination or understanding is dangerous. Hence, I stress to the children the importance of seeking the Spirit's insight into the written Word of God that He inspired so many years ago. That is the key to heart conviction, awe of God, and power in their lives. On my YouTube channel, which is Michael Robert Girton, I have this short illustrated message, which is called The Process of Illumination. It's posted a number of times if you want to view it. Well, my 20 minutes with these little angels was more than I could have asked for. They were very attentive, receptive, and tender to my message. I was so broken inside by the Lord's tenderness in this place that I was weepy for many hours the rest of the day. I even wept inside a Goodwill store later when I tried to relate what happened to a young woman who grew up in camps with me, who happened to be at the store. If you want to hear the actual brief message I shared at the event, you may do so via my YouTube channel as well, which will be called Warning and Encouraging the Very Little Ones. Thank you. I know firsthand that the cure works. How so? Despite the fact, as I related above, that woefully too many former children I work with follow him no longer, there has been a faithful remnant of them where, by the grace of God, this has not been the case. I'm glad I cannot count how many former kids from children's church or camp have actually been by my side for years, either serving the Lord and His kingdom at camps or in my annual dramatic production of Via Dolorosa. It is a joy and a blessing I cannot contain. I also see it as our Lord's gracious heart poultice to me, given how very deeply and often I mourn for those who have strayed. I keep praying for them. I find very deep comfort in our Lord's words about His people. Quote, "All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those whom He has given me, but raise them up at the last day." John 6:37-39. Amen and amen. The need is greater than you think. Very sadly and tragically, America has been plagued in our public schools and both lower and higher educational institutions with the dumbing down phenomenon. Academic standards have been drastically lowered to enable students to have passing grades despite the detriment to their education this practice facilitates. To my very deep chagrin, I have noticed in Sunday school and children's church curricula a very similar downgrowth grade. Pictures, slideshows, videos, and PowerPoints of Jesus depict Him caricatured to the point where they portray the eternal Son of God, who will come in great power and glory, as goofy, to wit, as a dork. All realism is gone. Worship songs so often are happy and clappy with little emphasis on doctrine. There is no power in so many children's services. There is no seriousness or solemnity given the weighty matters of the Word of God. There is no conviction of the Holy Spirit. It could almost be likened to religious playtime, as with so many seeker-sensitive megachurches across our country. Church gatherings have turned into shows, concerts, entertainment-oriented extravaganzas. It hurts to type this, but I fear too many children's church services are virtually a Christian Chuck E. Cheese. Beloved, when I'm with children or youth, I know I've got about 45 minutes. 45 minutes to stuff them with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's presence and the very deep hope and prayer that is very sweet but cutting, life-changing conviction will come upon them. Ugh, of the 168 hours in a week, we get so very little time with them, and to think of the ridiculous activities that fill up so much of that invaluably precious time. Oh, Father, please help us. Yes, I know, I'm very well aware that there is a time to play with the children. But when we play, and when we pray, as we've said at camp for decades. I know I'm preaching right now, but I'm so very glad for my own sake that I remind myself of these things as I'm entering into yet another summer camp season. May the Lord God swoop down on us again this summer, as He so kindly and faithfully in the past has done. Sincerely, Michael. And the quote from an old Bible is, "Weak, shallow preaching results in weak, shallow conversions." Thank you so much for listening. Jesus bless.